Good morning, 716 Galesburg's Morning News. Looking forward to this. Was hoping we'd be able to catch up with him, and he was gracious enough to do it. It's pretty amazing. Christian Taylor, two-time defending Olympic gold medalist in the triple jump, four-time defending world champion. He's the first athlete to win three consecutive world champions, and now the only ever to win four, the only four-time world. Second longest jump in history, only to the world record holder Jonathan Edwards out of Great Britain. And, yeah, we are so happy that, you know, unfortunate for him that things have gotten pushed back, but he'll still be at it. And we welcome in this morning Christian Taylor. As we welcome in Christian Taylor. Christian, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us here this morning.
Good morning, Tom. Happy to join you once again.
Well, thank you so much. Does it ever get old hearing those words? Four-time world champion, defending world champion, two-time defending Olympic champion. Does that ever get old? I can't imagine it does.
Absolutely not. Each one was very difficult to attain. And once you get to that point, you're grateful for all of them. But, you know, I was grateful and very excited. But, you know, to add year after year, no, it never gets old.
And has it ever really even sunk in the fact that it's like, hey, I'm one of the best ever? Do you consider yourself that way?
No, actually, I really don't. You know, I think this is what helps keep that fire burning and keeps me motivated day into day. I think once I retire and reflect on it, then I can kind of have those thoughts. And of course, the younger generation have said I'm a legend in the making and things. And for me, this is well beyond what I'm thinking of myself now. But I just try to think, okay, I've done a lot in my career. I'm grateful for that. It's been a huge blessing, but I've still got so much to go. And it keeps me motivated going into the next Olympics.
Well, and part of the reason actually we're talking this morning, the next Olympics, obviously, with everything going on with the COVID-19 virus and the worldwide pandemic and everything, they obviously announced that the Olympics, 2020 Olympics in Tokyo are now pushed back. They are now going to be the 2021 Olympics. And,
yes.
And I guess, I mean, mentally you're preparing, physically you're preparing because you want to be at your peak when it gets here. So, you know, the last how many weeks were you kind of thinking it might change, or did you still have to have the mindset like, okay, this is still going to happen, so I have to keep training the same way I was up until we get the word that it's moved?
Yeah, if I'm being very honest, it was not until the announcement was made that I allowed myself to just kind of get to that point of it is now Tokyo 2021. I knew, you know, I was watching CNN constantly and Fox and MSNBC. Every news station was talking about the seriousness and actually the impact that this had on the economy, on you know, the healthcare system as a whole. But I guess a piece of me didn't want to believe that, you know, the Olympics would be postponed. It eventually got to the point where it was very clear that it was the right choice to make, though difficult. And, you know, I had to really think outside of myself and think of the bigger picture. And that is really the well-being of society, of mankind. And we cannot just put so many lives at stake. And so once the official announcement was made, that's when I kind of sat back and thought, okay, this is where we are. 365 days, possibly, you know, until the Olympics come. And just allow yourself to let it sink in and you know, face the reality, and now I'm training for next year.
So how does that change? Obviously, you have to pull it back a little bit because I'm sure you were in pretty hard training mode leading up to it. And
correct.
So I'm guessing you have to pull back a little bit, especially with your event, the triple jump. I'm not sure there's another event in track and field where especially your legs and knees and your body, I guess your body as a whole, takes the pounding it does in that event.
Yeah, the impact is quite severe. I mean, we're talking about 10 to 15 times your body weight on each impact. So you definitely feel it. And I'm trying to find the silver lining in it all. It is a blessing because maybe I could take a little more time to recover, a little more time to rest my body. But at the same time, as you said, I was tailoring, and my coach and I were tailoring the training to be ready by June for the Olympic trials. And then you know, the beginning of August for the champs. With the year set back, we do have to dial things back, but we also have to take into consideration now the restrictions that we all have to face. All the athletes talking about, you know, playing inside and training inside and minding the social distancing. that we have to face now. So all the tracks, the facilities that we normally train at have all been closed, and we've had to be a bit more flexible and a bit more creative in our preparations or in our efforts of staying in shape. But yeah, the entire, my at least entire training preparation is completely different, as you know, I'm not on a track or in a sand pit or in a weight room every day as I used to be.
Well, up until a couple of weeks ago, were you were still in regular training mode, or was there some social distancing? Were you still at the track and, you know, just keeping away and not getting that close to coach and teammates if you have them?
Yeah, so for about 3 weeks ago now, we got, because I actually train at the University of North Florida, UNF, and the university. So this was in the early stages of the social distancing when it started to hit, I guess, us all, how serious this really was. The university said that they're going to close the facility and the entire campus in efforts to protect the students and staff, and that the rest of the semester were going to be done online, which also meant that we were not allowed to use the training facility. And so from that point, you know, my coach started to look at soccer fields, started to look at baseball fields, maybe different facilities that we could use, but all of them were saying that they just cannot allow the numbers that we have in our group. And then, you know, we tried to make do, but then Florida announced that the beaches were even closed. So, you know, we were really trying to be creative, eventually getting to the point where, you know, you just had to essentially just stay at home, you know, or work in your garage, working on your balcony. But you had to make do with the respect of this virus has to go away, and we have to do our part to help with that.
Talking with Christian Taylor, he is the two-time defending Olympic gold medalist. He's the only ever to win three consecutive world championships, and he's the only four-time winner as well. Second longest jump in the world, only to the world record holder Jonathan Edwards of Great Britain. We'll talk about you chasing that as well. One of the other things I want to touch on, Christian, is with it being pushed back, physically, what's your peak? I mean, you're you know, when we first talked, when you won the NCAA championship, went on the same year and won the national championship and the world championship, right, as a very young man. You're still a young man to me, 30 this June, and what, 31 by the time it comes around next year. So what, I mean, will that have an effect on the way you train? Or are you still physically you're fine and still in the midst of your peak?
Yeah, I'm physically fine. Of course, there are changes physically. The unique part of my Olympic career or my story actually is the fact that in 2015, you know, I actually jumped off another leg. So I jumped off my other leg, and in the 2014, almost rewrote my story, my career, and went from jumping off the left leg to the right leg. So I became the first person ever to win the Olympics off both legs. But because this is so new to me, because, you know, it's a different leg, and this leg has not taken on all the impact that the other leg had taken for the last 10 to 12 years, I felt like this gave me, I don't know, an advantage, a new start. And, you know, thinking that from 2015 to now, you know, I think I'm at the early stages of my career. So I've tried to find a way to rewrite how I look at age and youth and my abilities. But no, I feel great. I'm completely healthy. I'm very, very motivated. You know, and the thing I have now to my advantage is my experience. And so I've been almost down and out. I've been, you know, I've had my share of setbacks, but I've also learned how to work through adversity. And so, yeah, I'm very excited to see what 31 will bring and to compete at Olympic Games at that age.
You know, I remember reading when you did the leg switch, and just so people understand how difficult that is. I mean, I would almost liken it to, you've never been a switch hitter, you've always batted right-handed, turn around and try to bat left-handed. Or swing a golf club. I don't think people understand how difficult that is. Now, for me, I told you I was a pretty novice triple jumper in high school. And right before the state track meet, I had a week and a half to prepare. I had a coach, it was actually another athlete working with me, saying, hey, you know what? You need to be going off your strong leg first. I didn't. I was going off my weak leg first, thinking I needed the stronger leg on the final phase. So he had me switch it up. And it just felt so awkward. I was jumping about the same, but I got to the state track meet and I was so uncomfortable. I tried to switch back the other way and I was just horrible both ways. And so making that switch and staying, you know, at the level, not only the level you were, but even surpassing that, I think people don't really understand how big a deal that is.
Yes. So actually very exactly to you. I used to jump off my weak leg at the beginning because I wanted my last phase to be the biggest, and to take over. Now I've actually switched to my strong leg being at the beginning, so I can really get out there. But it was not an easy switch. It is a changing of thinking, a change of the preparation. So all the sensations are completely different. And when I have to reflect on what it took to make that transition, it was only repetition. It was getting down the muscle memory. I've been doing something for like I said, 10, 12 years, the exact same way every single year. And times of pressure and all this, you know, became second nature to have to erase that and rewrite how you just do things. It's not how you think about it, but actually just how you do it. And that was the biggest hurdle. Me getting away from almost the excuse of, well, yes, I'm jumping off the other leg. The performances don't match up because I'm jumping off my other leg, to the point of just being, this is how I jump. If I lose, I lose. If I win, I win. But it's no longer off the other leg. This is just how I jump. And that was when the light went off for me.
Christian Taylor, he's training for the now 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games, trying to become one of only two three-time winners of a gold medal in the Olympics in the triple jump. Viktor Sanayev from the USSR did it. Things like that, do you ever think about things like that, the fact that, yes, you were the first ever to win three consecutive worlds and you're only a four-time winner, one of only a handful to have won two gold medals in the Olympics, and you know, that opportunity to maybe becoming one of only two three-time winners. Do those things cross your mind at all, or are you just focused on the job at hand?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought this up. So this is, for me, such a unique time, you know, in my career. The only other person was to do it. It was Viktor from USSR. This tells you how long ago this was, you know, and that, for me, just makes it so much more significant of what the opportunity lies in front of me. I'm so excited, of course, to be an Olympian, to possibly make the final, and then, you know, to go on and hopefully obtain that gold medal. But that, those are the key points. Those are the things I focus on every single day to that point. And so I'm not going into this Olympic Games or past Olympic Games thinking, yeah, it would be great to compete, or I'm going for experience. No, I do have a goal in mind. And, you know, now I know that I could actually possibly join the club. There's only one other man that has done this, you know, in my field. And you know, to join that, that's going to be very special. I'm very proud of the world championship titles and to be now the leader in that category. But the Olympic, that's the pinnacle. That is what we all work towards. And yes, that is the greatest motivation I have right now.
Yeah, and looking back at that era, of course, me growing up watching that era of the Soviet bloc countries and that, I know you won't say this, but I would dare say that would make you, if you are to do it, I should say when you become the three-time Olympic gold medalist, that you would be the first non-chemically engineered athlete to do it. How about that?
Yeah, I can say you said it, not me.
Exactly. Christian had nothing to do with that statement. That was all me. Christian Taylor, he is training for the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Now, you know, it's really interesting. It's such a great time for track and field and the triple jump. Of course, changing the guard in the sprints, which we got some great sprinters, especially American sprinters coming up after, you know, kind of the post-Bolt era. But in the triple jump itself, it is so fun now to watch. And it's got to be fun for you to have this competition. Not only you've got Pichardo from Cuba, but then a former teammate and another Gator in Will Clay and Omar Craddock. That's got to make it even more fun for you to have that competition to help push you.
Absolutely. For me, this is now such great takeaways. I really experienced the competition so much different, because before, when it was myself and Will traveling around the world, everything was so new. You know, we were in countries and cities that we maybe couldn't even name or have spotted on a map. To now, we're actually trying to bring back medals for the U.S. and represent our countries. And not only that, but representing the Gator Nation on the biggest stage, you know, we take a lot of pride in that. And so, of course, everyone wants to win. We're all there to fight. But the goal always, when we're in the call room, before we get onto the stage, it's you know, let's bring back 1, 2, 3 for the Gator Nation. Let's bring back 1, 2, 3 for the U.S. So I think there's an added pride, an added almost boost when we're competing, because we fight till the end, but we also want, you know, the other two to be on the podium with us.
7:42 Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gum, Nick Isher. Well, the Olympic Games have gotten pushed back now to next year. Christian Taylor, two-time defending champion in the triple jump. He's won 2 gold medals in the Olympics. He's won 4 consecutive world championships, and he was nice enough to stick around and talk a little bit more with us. And there's something else going on right now in the world of track and field that I don't completely understand. The IAAF, the governing body of track and field, one of the things as a professional athlete, how you make money is getting out on that circuit, and there's been the Diamond League circuit going on for several years, and that's how you guys can make some pretty good money, especially at the end of it, if you're the top point getter in your event. Now they're talking about some changes for what, and maybe you can explain why they're trying to do this, which I don't understand, but dropping some events from the Diamond League, which would include your event, the triple jump. Why? What is the madness behind these decisions?
Well, Tom, I think you brought up a very valid point. The Diamond League and track and field competitions around the world, it is our livelihood. This is how we make our money. This is our office, essentially. World Athletics took it upon themselves to conduct a survey, a research, however you want to look at it. They came back and said the audience, the broadcasters, their sponsors, shareholders, all came back saying that we need to have a shorter, more exciting show. And this, the result of this was the cutting of 4 different events. This led to one of the greatest movements of track and field, you know, was actually the athletes coming together, forming the Athletics Association, and now having a voice in striving to having a voice in the decision making that's going on. But the removal of these disciplines was extremely disheartening, because I mean, to be really honest, personally, I was at the position where myself and Renaud Levillanine, we were tied for the people that have won the Diamond League overall the most. We tied at 7 times, and you know, this was going to be the year that we could battle each other to see who would be the overall champion. This opportunity is not going to be available to me now. And beyond that, it was, how are these decisions being made without consulting, without speaking and even proposing these changes to the athletes? And so, as I said, this led to the Athletics Association, and we're hoping that, you know, because of this push, that maybe things will actually change in the future.
You know, and the sad thing is, as you said, people making the decisions, you're at the mercy of television, number one, which is sad, because I think if it was done right, and obviously, and I understand, yeah, I'm a person that would sit there and watch the entire triple jump competition, the downtime in between. I would watch it. Not everybody would. So obviously, it has to be recorded and edited, but it upsets me when I don't see enough of the competition. Look, oh, here's a jump by Pichardo, and oh, he took the lead. Now here's Christian Taylor with a winning jump. And, you know, that's all I see, and that really upsets me. Well, so the TV audience doesn't get a chance. Of course, they're not going to vote that way because they never see it. I think if they saw it and saw the competition, it would be completely different. So again, we're all kind of at the mercy of TV and the executives and everything.
Correct. And so, and when I'm in the room, I told him it was not an easy, even survey. We did not have the same exposure going into this. So how can the audience, how can the TV dictate what is enjoyable, what is not, when everyone has not been presented on the same field? So if the field gets 20 seconds, but the track gets 20 minutes, well, of course you're not going to understand what's going on in the field, because you're just shown something and that's it, you know? And so there is the special thing about field is the story of the back and forth. Unlike a track event, that it's first one across the line, you know, the field, there is that element of someone stealing the lead. There is that element of foul. There is the element of not making a height. So there are different variables with the field. This, it's all about presentation. and how this is shown to the audience. I think if this was portrayed and given out differently, then I believe track and field would be, as a whole, seen differently.
I think my argument would be Usain Bolt would not have been Usain Bolt if he was a triple jumper or a hammer thrower, even if he was that dominant and the best in the world, because of the way they present it. He wouldn't have been who he was. We would have never seen the personality.
Correct. Absolutely.
Christian Taylor joining us here this morning, and he's, again, training for the now 2021 Olympics in Tokyo. I know we've spoken in the past, and you said you grew up in the state of Georgia, of course, University of Florida. Your parents came here from the Bahamas, and you had talked at one time saying that when you were done with your career here in the U.S., that you would like to someday go and jump for your parents' nation. Is that still something that you think about, or that something you're going to consider later on?
Yeah, well, I have to say, small correction, Barbados.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I had the BA.
Yes,
I apologize. Okay,
I know for the Bajan listeners, I don't want them to get it confused. Bahamas is beautiful, but we take a lot of pride in the small island of Barbados. So this was really actually... We had conversations about this after Rio, went down to the island as I always do, share the medal and speak with the Olympic committee and see what they were thinking. Unfortunately, from the time I was a youth athlete at 17, we proposed the opportunity of competing for them just because of pride in my heritage, pride in my family. It's gotten to the point now where it's become my decision. And I've said, you know what, after Rio, going on, I'm very proud to be an American. I really wanted to do what I could for my family. But at the end of the day, as you said, I grew up in Georgia. My life is in the U.S. And going forward, we've just decided that I'm going to stick with the U.S., finish my career out this way, and still hopefully at the end have a nice place to retire in Barbados.
Hey, that would be great. Sun and warm temperatures. Well, not that you don't get that in Florida, but year round, and you don't have to worry about frost at all.
Exactly. Yes.
Christian Taylor training for the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. Wanted to mention something else. We talked about as a professional athlete, obviously a chunk of your income, the Diamond League and whatnot, but also sponsorships. And you've got a couple I know that have stuck with you and been really good to you. I wanted to let you mention them in Tiger Balm and Philip Stein.
Absolutely, yes. So outside of just the competitions, it is extremely helpful to have external sponsors like this and people that really just believe in you and back you, in your pursuit of reaching those dreams. And so Tiger Balm, at first I was just in disbelief that a product that I was using every day from a high school, from just being a high schooler and sharing our jar with the teammates to actually being able to bless others every track meet I go to. Philip Stein with the concept of just well-being, and just incorporating just the idea of looking after yourself and finding the best version of yourself on and off the track. And I also have to thank actually the USA, Track Foundation, because really, being a Schwartzman grant recipient, even what this foundation has done for myself and many, many other U.S. athletes, it's been absolutely phenomenal. I had the opportunity to go up actually to New York this year and meet with, Mr. Schwartzman himself and actually just find out his passion and the board's passion for track and field and to see that they still strive for, even greater medal count that the U.S. track team can bring back. They really have, they've just instilled an additional passion and pride into being the best team in the world. And this was a very important piece going into the Tokyo Olympics. And I would keep that energy going into next year, the Tokyo Olympics.
With the world record, we've talked about this before, Jonathan Edwards is, and we're talking now, 25 years ago, 1995, right. that he set that world record, and you've got the second longest jump in history. I know you're still chasing that, and that's one of your goals. What is it that it takes? Does it take, I know there's never the perfect jump, but does it take close to the perfect jump? What all has to come together for that to happen, obviously on top of training?
Yeah, so before I was really thinking, yeah, it was just the right environment. It is just me lifting it enough or running fast enough, or, you know, and now I've gotten to the point, because of experience, the way I look at it, it's only about time. It's only a matter of time. And so I believe if you look at myself, if you look at Will Clay, if you look at Pichardo, we are, you know, the 18-meter barrier that was almost foreign, jumping 58 feet, 59 feet. This was, I mean, at one time was world record, but this was so long. There was not even five people at the time before I started that had jumped over 18 meters. Jonathan Edwards being, you know, the first one to surpass this and have the world record. But with this thinking, I just believe it's a matter of time. And I just want to be sure that I'm in this competition, and I don't even care. And I've told Will, you know, I've told Will to his face, I don't care if he breaks the world record. I want him to do it. All I want to do, the greatest walkaway, is for me to be the last person to break it. That's all.
There you go. Christian Taylor, not only training for his third Olympic gold medal, but going after that world record in the triple jump. I think that's another one of those things that, you know, anybody that's ever swung a golf club, whether they're a novice or not, and you feel, you know, when you hit a really good shot, baseball, when you connect. Triple jump, long jump, those things, it's so that feeling is so unbelievable when you hit it. It feels like it's almost effortless, doesn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, when it just all comes together, I'm like, wow, you know, even me, no further than I was going, I always knew when I hit a good jump, maybe even more so in the long jump than the triple for me, but just, you just know, you're like, wow, this is just, I wish it was always this easy.
Absolutely, yeah. As a golfer also, you know, when you just hit that, just right down the fairway, you know, it's like, why can't I do this every time? You know, because yeah. It felt so easy. Your head was clear, and you know, the movement suggests it all comes together. And that is what that perfect jump feels like. You get this tunnel vision, and then you take off on the board, and it just feels like flying. It gets quiet, and you just enjoy that moment. But then as soon as it's over, you think, why can't I always do that?
Are the surfaces always consistent? I mean, do you have places that it's been the same surface for a while that you know I'm going to jump well here? But or are they pretty consistent that you can, you know, you can get a good jump anywhere?
Oh, no. Every stadium is different. Mm-hmm. Every track is different. So there are some tracks that, you know, are very good for jumpers, meaning I know that sounds weird, but there's – so someone like Will Clay, he's explosive. He's very springy. That is really his go-to. If you have a track that is bouncy, that is where he thrives. If you have a fast track, this is more where I thrive, because I'm really a runner. I have the running background, and you know, I try to use that to my advantage. You have Omar, who is actually more of a power jumper, and so he actually has ability to do well on both tracks, but every stadium, you know, as soon as you put your spikes on, you know, basically how you have to tailor your jump to jump on that track.
You know, it's so interesting. You mentioned kind of the different styles and you being more of the speed guy. I would encourage people that don't really necessarily know the triple jump. Why, you know, when, and we will get back to track and field at some point this year. I would, you know, watch where you can on NBC Sports. You can find a lot of it on the Olympic Network and that, NBC sometimes, and every now and then on your ESPNs or whatever. But I would encourage people to watch it or even pulling up on YouTube. And it's amazing to see the different styles, because in your case, you're floating. You're not getting quite as high as some of the guys you mentioned,
exactly.
like with Will, boom, he's getting way up. You're going more out, he's going more up. And then, you know, and looking back at a guy like Mike Conley, I think he scooted even more than you. I think he was even more straight across than you were, not even quite that amount of height. It's really, really interesting to watch all the different styles.
Absolutely. And to be honest, Mike Conley is the athlete I studied the most. So this is, if you, I can tell you've done your studying, but I believe we have the closest jumping styles to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and of course, I think I've told you this in the past. You probably didn't remember my claim to fame at the state track meet my senior year here in Illinois. He was a sophomore. We jumped in the same flight, and that would have been in the long jump. And of course, you know, he only beat me by about 4 feet in that, as a sophomore here in Illinois, this would have been, we had just two classes, and it was a small school class. He went to a small private school up in the Chicago area, but mm-hmm. he won both the long and triple jump, And then I know by, I don't remember his junior year, I think he won them all too, but his senior year, he got second place as a team. He was the only athlete there. He won the 100, 200 long and triple and set records in both the long and triple in the process. In fact, he had the longest jump, high school jump in the country that year. He was right around, he was over 51, pushing 52 that year. So pretty impressive.
Incredible.
But, yeah,
yes,
so.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so
and you guys jumped together.
Yeah, well, yeah, sort of. Yeah, well, I was in the same flight in the prelims with him. So so that's always my claim to fame. Yeah, I jumped with Mike Conley. So there you go. All right. Well, Christian, I want to thank you so much for taking some time with us. You're always so gracious to do this and so humble. It's so nice to talk to professional athletes that are that way and I love that you have so much success on top of it. And I'm disappointed. I won't see you do it this year, but still really looking forward to next year. You know, one more thing before I wrap up. I see a lot of the guys will do indoor seasons. That's something you skip, and is that more due to the pounding you take and that you don't need that during your training?
Yeah, to be honest, it's just because the season was so long. If you do the indoor season, because you start in January and you're going through August, the reason I did it was just to have it just short and sweet. You know, I start in April and just have summer. I love the sun. You know, I thrive just being in the Southeast, and so it was just kind of more of a preference. But now that this season, who knows what happens with the summer. If I need to get the competitions in early next year, then you actually may see an appearance, come 2021 indoor season. So I think I might take that challenge on.
All right. Well, Christian, again, thank you so much for taking the time, and we wish you all the best. Looking forward to seeing another gold medal around your neck coming up in 2021.
Thanks so much, Tom. And I really wish you and your team full health, you know, in these times and stay away from that virus, but looking forward to representing next year.